Show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you so much for tuning in on a Monday. Welcome back. Welcome back. I know it's been a crazy week so far. I don't know about some of y'all, but I am still getting used to picking up and getting my kids for school and doing my part as a dad, besides my part as a radio host and everything else I do. Amen. So, my friends, God bless you. Today is Monday, the last day of the month of August, August 31st. And I want to say happy birthday to my son, Nathaniel Yanez. He is, I believe, now he's 10, I think. I believe so. He has to be 10 by now, because the other one's just about to turn 12. So, yeah, we'll say he's 10 for now until I get confirmation from his mom, who will email me or get a hold of me somehow. Either way, my friends, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Happy birthday to my son, Nathaniel. And I want to also announce today, I meant to put this on Friday's show and I didn't have time or I couldn't find the article, but there's going to be a benefit and an auction for Kylie Newberry at Lake Houston Marina Saturday, September 12th from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Again, that is on Saturday, September 12th. So that's 2 weeks from now, 12 noon to 5 p.m. And just to let you know about Kylie Newberry, this is a church member from our grandmother from our church. This is her granddaughter, and she wanted us to announce this on the station. And I promised her I would. I'm going to put this. It's going to be called Charity Benefits, Charities and Benefits on our webpage. And it's 12-year-old Kylie was hit by a car while trying to cross the 1960 near Roma's Pizza. She is on the road to recovery but needs a lot of medical care. Please come out and show your support. There's also on the back Wells Fargo Bank account number where you can deposit any kind of gifts and stuff. So I'm going to post this on the website so you can see all the activities and stuff they include. They're going to auction, silent auction, barbecue plates, plates to go, cakes, pizza. Oh, I'm probably going to run by and get me definitely some barbecue plates in the afternoon. But my friends, I want you to know that this station is not only a station to the world, but it's a local station as well. It's going to be there to help support this kind of stuff. So if you have any news events and stuff that you'd like us to announce, and even if we're not in your neighborhood and you're in a different city, we'll announce it. Who knows who's listening, amen? We get people from New Mexico, a lot of people from New Mexico, and that's a blessing. And then we also get several people from across the state of Texas and definitely in El Paso. We have a lot of people listening as well. So we're excited about that. We're excited about seeing things happen. And we're excited about seeing God move in our life and in other people's lives as well. So I want to tell y'all thank you. And thank you again for listening to that. Again, that's the benefit for Kylie Newberry. So look for it on our website or write down the information. Lake Houston Marina, September 12th from 12 to 5 p.m. Well, I want to just let y'all know that. And as soon as the show's done, I'm going to try and get that scanned and put on top of the website and build that quick page for that so that y'all can be able to see that as well. Now, God is had some awesome plans for us. Last night I was preaching and stuff, and it was just so funny. As soon as I finished preaching and stuff, it was just quiet afterwards. I talked about our worth, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on the show. But what's just exciting was it was funny was because right at the end of my sermon, there's nothing like your daughter, your baby girl, standing up and just start clapping, and everybody start clapping after her. It was such a blessing. It was touching because I was preaching, and then I finished preaching, and I said amen, and I prayed, and as soon as I finished praying, she starts clapping and clapping louder and louder until people start clapping, and that's touching because I know that, you know what, I'm my baby girl's favorite preacher right now, and that's awesome. That's awesome. And we just enjoyed ourselves in that, and today just running around, and for some reason I had to go to the clinic today because I have to get a couple of stitches in my finger. Hurt myself. I'm doing some things earlier, and that's where I've been, and I just got back. So we're getting the show going, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be okay. No need to call the ambulance, and we won't play any sound effects for that, but I did hurt a little bit, or whatever. Who cares? It happens. And it's good, though. This week, yesterday, we started to do a little bit something more for the station, and I'm all for trying to get something done for the station every day, or doing a little bit on every day, and our visions, and my books and stuff, and my pastor's books, and my clients' books that come in. But one thing I'm trying to get going as well is the TV station. Like I said, last week we did a good shoot. But I told you on Friday that we thought it was a good shoot on Thursday. But on Friday, after looking at the video, the sound was a little sporadic, a little static in it. It sounded hollow. So we're going to have to reshoot. And we're going to try and use a different microphone and use a different technique to get that done. But we did was we started to start moving stuff out of the... one of the other rooms that we're going to be using, we're turning into the television studio. It's not going to be a broadcast studio. It's just going to be the set. And it's basically the television set that we do all the taping and everything for. So we're going to believe that to go good. And it just takes a while to get things going. And I can't lift anything and move anything for the next, I think, week or so. So that's going to be on hold for a week. And that's fine. I can catch up on reading and writing and all that. And I definitely got a lot of editing. I don't use my left hand. For using the computer, I use the right hand for the mouse, so should be okay. I just have to not overstress it or whatever. But praise God, today's show is a good, great show. We're going to talk about what your worth is. We're going to talk about other things. And I finished that book, like I told you, last Friday that I was on the very verge of finishing it. Well, I finished it finally. The Lies We Believe by Dr. It's a good book. Let me get you the title on that one. The Lies We Believe by Dr. Chris Thurman. It's a very good book. You can pick it up anywhere, I think. It's $14.99 or so. And you can probably find it cheaper than that. I always buy my books through eBay or through Amazon. And you can probably find something that's similar to that, but that one's really good. That one, on price, you can probably find something similar on price. But that one is extremely good book. And I actually taught, for my first time, I taught out of it at the church. And, you know, it was received well. It was received well. People really were encouraged. People were excited. People were glad to see God's word being brought out to them in that different fashion. I want to get into their minds. I want to get into their hearts. I want to see about touching not only the spiritual part of it, but I want to get into the mental part of it. I shared some stories and stuff that we're going to share today. And we're going to see what happens. Because I think that a lot of people out there will be surprised at some of their answers. And I'm trying to type right now. My hand's still numb. So that's not a good thing. I just wanted to make sure that we get everything going and get everything moving and stuff. And try and get things together. Amen. Well, God is good. And God has good things for each of us. Let's give you some updates. We're moving a lot of our sites to a more cost-efficient sites. And something that a lot of our packages didn't include back when we signed contracts. So we're starting to try to become more efficient with the ministry dollars. And some new options have came up. And we're taking advantage of that. So right now our archives are not going to be up until we get the archives built. And so I want to make sure that you know that. So if you're looking for a midwife with the Rev Archives Relationship Series Archives, they've been up in the same place for 5 years, and I'm going to go ahead and make some changes to try and make things a little bit more exciting. And I'm still trying to type and pull something up, and I can't. But anyway, God is good. And that he's doing good things. And forgive me that I'm just trying to get my bearings here. I think it's the medication they gave me. It's making me go a little crazy. But I want to talk about what your worth might be. And you're going to be able to hear this sermon. I have it recorded and stuff. And I would normally just play it right now. But there's some part that I have to edit. Because would you believe it or not, in the middle of my sermon, there's this young man that comes into the sanctuary, and he just has his ball cap on and sunglasses, and I'm talking to people, and then he's trying to hand signal me, and he's moving his hands like a little, like, I need to talk to you type thing, and I'm preaching, so I really can't just stop preaching, go talk to this young guy, so I just keep preaching, and I even paused and said, do we need to help you, and he's like, trying to talk, so I pointed to one of the ushers and asked if they could go and talk to him. And when they went to go talk to him, I thought something was coming on or something. He needed something important. Do you know what this guy wanted? He wanted some money for laundry money. Well, I gladly would have gave it to him if he would have gave me time to finish my sermon. But he drove off in a nice car and everything and had gas in his car. So the church is here. I told my friend, well, you know what? We clean souls here, not laundry. But if it takes cleaning laundry to get your soul clean, then we'll gladly invest. Amen. But, oh, well, you know, praise God. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes these things happen. I think a lot of people look towards the church. And I'm just going to speak freely here. It's very true. There's a lot of times people look at the church and just think that the church is made out of money. And they got a lot of money. They got a big old building. They got a big old facility. And that's not the case most of the time. Most of the time, 20% of the people that are going to church is the ones that are supporting the church. Now that 20% that are giving is not really maintaining everything. It's just it's barely maintaining and sustaining, and you have to always get special love offerings or love offerings to keep things to build and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure. I'm reading something, trying to read what was a note that someone sent me on Shantango, trying to see if it's part of the show or one of my radio hosts, and it's one of my radio hosts that were sending me something at the same time the show's on. So I thought there was someone trying to get on to the program with us, but it's not. And I'm going to go and answer him. And I just want to make sure we know that. Amen. So God is good. I think I've said that four times. but a lot of people think that the church does have funds, and we don't. And we don't have them as people might think. I don't know how many times that I've came by, and our senior pastor is always talking to someone that just wants to do something around the church to make some money. And just something real quick. And to me, it's like if you're healthy enough to come and knock on the door, and you're driving a truck and driving a vehicle, and you can come over here, that vehicle could drive to a Walmart, to a Target, to something else as well, and you can work and make some money. I am one that I don't mind laboring and working. I don't mind that at all. That's part of what we do. And so that's my opinion on it. I will help people when I see that there is a need. I do help. We do try. And I just want to make sure that you know that we are there for people, but we want to make sure that everybody, the people that we help are the people that need help, and not people that just want help. Amen. You kind of know the difference. All right. Well, let me go in and get your infomercial about our ministry. Apologize for the late talking about things, but just trying to get things moving and trying to get our bearings down. So we're going to get it down. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutofGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit almostoutofgrace.com. You can get through there through redfinishers.com, or you can go straight to almostoutofgrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card, and if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships. I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us, and we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics, and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple if you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show. You don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, it was extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Welcome back. This is The Rev. You're listening to Midwatch with The Rev. Well, remember, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to have a show on the video part of the station. It's going to have a 30-minute show Tuesday nights and Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going to be broadcasting. It's going to be live, hopefully. If not, it'll be pre-recorded, but it's going to be basically a little bit more information on each of our shows that we're not putting out on the air at the time. We're going to cover some. We only have an hour to get the show done, and there's so much material we try and cover during that hour. So we're going to be able to take them and put them on a video. We're just trying to get into video because video is what everybody's really into right now. Radio is good, and it's reaching people, for people that just want to listen to something. But video tends to get people a little bit more. It's a broader audience. People want to sit there and see what's going on and stuff. So we're trying to get some good stuff happening, and we're trying to make it good. So I promise this, that we're going to get some good content, and we're going to make it happen. Amen? We're going to make it happen, and we're going to see God do some good things. So, my friends, yesterday we had a sermon that I taught that I thought that was a good teaching, a good idea, and I got most of it from the book that I was reading, and I just wanted to talk to you about what you think your worth is. What do you think your worth is? Do you value yourself because of your friends? Do you value yourself because of your family? Does your value come? There used to be, years ago I did a show, and if you looked at our archives, you would have seen it on the show, and that was our... It was our pilot program for Midwatch with the Rev, and we sent it off to New York, and it was called What Is Your Value? I think that was the pilot show. And on this show, I basically took some things and wrote it down and asked, do we think that we have any kind of value at all when things... Now think about this. Do you think you have any value whatsoever if you lose your income, if you lose your car, if you lose your house, if you lose your wife, if you lose your family, It's respect. I don't know if anyone's ever been told this, but when people are saying, I lost respect for you, it hurts. Well, for some people that have a conscience, it hurts. So, when I tell you, where does your value, I mean, in this world that we are given this huge, huge mandate that we need to have the house, have the car, have the finances, have the beautiful family, have the picket fence, have all these great things, and then you succeeded. Now, if you have all that, do you think you've gained some kind of value? Do you think that you're valuable to the world? To other people? Do you think you have worth now? I don't know about you, but I think that a lot of people tend to value their stuff on possessions, rankings, prestige. I mean, we're so much in a world right now, and our world is we're the number one show, or we're the number one internet provider, or we're the number one cable provider, or we're the number one cell phone provider, we're the number one, whatever. Everything's based on rankings, and if you don't have a name brand, say, let's just use cell phones for an instance. If you don't have the name brand of T-Mobile or Sprint or AT&T or Verizon, then those are the four major name brands, and you have some other off-brand or some other name which is considered an off-brand, and people are going to look at that your phone isn't worth as much as these phones. Basically, if you drive certain vehicles, there's more. There looks like there's more worth in certain vehicles than other vehicles. Vehicles are probably not the best example to take right now, but it's, you know, considering the economy and all. But you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that base their entire beliefs, their entire hopes on being worth something by having a possession or attaining a position or being popular or being known for something. I think that we tend to put our identity in our worth, and it's not that way. You have to separate the two. Your worth is not in your identity. There's something about you that is worth something so much that God cares about you. So I want you to think about that. I want you to digest that and understand that there is worth in you. You don't have to have everything in the world. You don't have to be the smartest person. You don't have to have the most beautiful family. And you don't have to have all the things that you require to be worth anything. You don't have to have anything. Anything you might require, you don't have to be worth anything. Let's look at Solomon real quick. And I'm just giving you a recap of what I talked about and a recap of what I taught. Let's look at Solomon. If you read in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 4, you'll read something very, very interesting. And let me find my Bible so I can give you the correct version of all this. In Ecclesiastes, you read and you say, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens, orchards, and planted trees, them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings in the provinces. I got me singers, men singers, women singers, and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever men mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, from my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I have labored to do, and behold, all this was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun.
Sounds like a man that had everything, but wasn't content in life with it. That even though he may have had all the riches, all the wisdom, and all the wealth, and all the popularity with the ladies, he was not content. How do I know that? If you take King Solomon back in his day, he was the J.D. Rockefeller, Albert Einstein, and the Hugh Hefner of his time. So, if you look at everything in his life and all his resume and his profile and life history there, you would see that he had anything and everything and nothing was withheld. He says it in the word right there. Nothing. Anything. He did not hold any pleasure away from him. He could have anything in the world. But if you look at Ecclesiastes 5:12, it reads, the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. If you read in Ecclesiastes 5:10, it reads, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. And if you read in Ecclesiastes 1:14, it says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and his vanity and grasping for my mind. Let's read that one again because I didn't write that down right well. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Okay, my handwriting was really bad on that one. But anyway, it profits nothing. He was not content with the world that he had. He was not content with the life that he had. Even though he had anything and everything, it does not give you worth. It does not make you worth anything. Performance cannot create worth. Riches cannot create worth. Popularity cannot create worth. Let me tell you a story of a young lady who's probably one of the top runners back in her day. And in 1986, let me tell you this story. Her name was Kathy Ornsby, a renowned racer. It was the track and field NCAA championships in Indianapolis, Indiana. Kathy was an honor student and track star at North Carolina State University. She also held the collegiate recorded. She also held the collegiate recorded holder in the women's 10,000 meter run. She was favorite in the championship race, but during the race, something unexpected happened. She fell completely behind and couldn't catch up to the front runner. And she tried and tried and tried to catch up. And she put a lot of energy in there. But when she seen it was impossible to catch up, she did something that was shocking to the world. During the race, she ran off the track and out of the stadium. And she continued running and running till she got to a nearby bridge. Then she jumped off the bridge, probably hoping to kill herself. Who knows? I mean, why else would you jump off a bridge, right? It's about 40, 50 feet foot bridge. The fall just paralyzed her, though. Why did she jump? Why did she didn't just finish the race and take whatever spot she was supposed to take? Did she just give up on life? Was it the losing thing? She wasn't used to it? Was it being perfect? Was she not used to not being perfect? Whatever went through her mind at that moment controlled her actions. Whatever she decided to believe and equate as the truth determined her life story at the end and pushed her over the edge. Her life had a great story, but a terrible, terrible ending or chapter of being paralyzed. Now think about this. That young lady was running and running and running. She always strived to be perfect. She was a top person in her grades, top person on the field, top training, everything. She was the best. She's never lost. But instead of taking the loss and just say, it was not my day. Instead of taking the loss and saying, this is not working out right now. I need to take a break. And sometimes it's okay. Do you know sometimes it's okay to be second? Although you should always shoot for being first. Sometimes it's okay to be second. So my friends, what do you think her problem was? We're going to take a quick infomercial about our ministry, and we'll be right back, and I'm going to give you that answer. Hopefully, we're trying to get it to a break. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of Midwatch with the Rev, and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here at Rev Media Network. We're going to be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series, relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is your Rev, the Rev, David Yannis. God bless you. Thank you for coming right back. Just want to let you know that we are trying to get some things put together. I'm going to need some actors. So if you're an actor and you're in the Houston area, or you're willing to come out to Houston and live in a trailer, just plain. But if you're willing to come out and help us out, and we can talk about things over the phone. I need several young people and a few older people. We're making a hell movie. Yes, a hell movie. Haven't quite figured out the title. It might be titled Hell Movie. We're thinking about it. We're hoping that we can get this thing together and shot in the fall, because it is so much better to shoot in the fall than shoot in the spring or the summer. Spring in Houston's kind of warm, a little bit of breeze, but our falls are awesome. We have some of the best falls here. Just nice, cool temperature, a little rainy, but that's what we're looking for the movie. And we're going to want to put this together this next 2-3 months. So I definitely need to start getting some actors in. So if you're an actor, actress, or you just want to be an extra, or you can help on the set with the props and stuff, please give me a call. Please let me know what you can do. You can give us a call or email us, whatever's best for you. Our contact information is all on the websites. You can give us a call at 888-241-0768 is our 800 number. Or you can give us an email at david@revmedianetwork.com. david@revmedianetwork.com. You can also write us at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. That again, that number is, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And you know what? I have not gotten any letters or emails recently, and I just want to make sure that the signal is going out sometimes. I go and turn on. You ever expecting a call, and the call never comes in, and you go and you pick up the phone to see if your phone's actually on? Well, that's kind of what I've been doing, just checking the emails from time to time and again to make sure the signal's actually going, that is actually going on. I keep checking the internet signal, and just wanted to let you know that God has a lot of things planned, and the thing is, we get involved and we keep going. I think the station's stable where it's moving, and we have a regular schedule on our part to maintain and to get talent and content and to get that broadcasting, so we are able to go in and go to the next stage, which is TV. And the TV is going to be very similar, and it's not going to be as much material coming in as the radio, because people can do radio more than they can do TV. So we're going to start building that, and then we're jumping into doing, while we have the cameras, we're going to go ahead and start making a quick movie. That's the goal, that's the hope, that's the prayer. So I really pray, really, really, really pray that y'all can get involved. Remember, email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. If you want to star in a movie, I'm going to make you a star. Hello, Hollywood. We're going to make something happen. We're going to believe it's from God. And we're going to see things happen. And we're going to trust God that God's going to use these videos and movies that we make to touch people's lives and bring them to Christ. Amen. Amen, my friends. Well, what do you think that young lady's lie that she believed, what do you think was the problem there? Why do you think that she just went ahead and ended everything, or attempted to end everything, by just jumping off a bridge because she was losing a race? I think possibly it's the lie that worth is done by performance, that her worth was by her performance, that she was NCAA, blah, 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 world record holder, and that she was top of the grades, and she always won, and that she was so used to having that kind of performance-based worth that she could not deal with not being performance-based, that emotionally it just took over herself, and emotionally she believes a lie that she wasn't worth anything because she lost and she jumped. The second wasn't worth anything, and she lost and she jumped and tried to kill herself. Next story. This is about Admiral Baratta, enlisted in the Navy at the age of 16. Early in his career, he was chosen for a program aimed at turning promising seamen like himself into officers. Not only did he become an officer, but he rose through the ranks to become an admiral. That's pretty good. As if that were not enough, he was the first enlisted man in the history of the Navy to become chief of naval operations. He was CNO of the Navy, chief of naval operations, the highest ranking officer in the Navy. He was a dedicated and loving family man, admired by people who served under him, and a living testimony to how far hard work and perseverance could take a person. But on May 23rd, 1996, he took a .38 caliber gun, pointed it to his stomach, or to his chest, and pulled the trigger, and killed himself. Why? Why would someone who achieved so much, who was reserved by so many, and respected by so many, and who had such an important position, do such a stupid thing? Why? Well, the newspapers and magazines reported rumors of Admiral was wearing accommodation medals he had not earned or was entitled to wear. Did he do this instead of facing the truth over the lies? Because it was basically a lie that he was taking credit of having these medals or these ribbons when he hadn't really earned them or received them properly. Did he? Did he just end it because he couldn't deal with having to take shame and guilt to the organization he devoted his entire life to since he was a kid? The Admiral believed the lies that you self-achievements and positions are your worth. The truth is, there's no reason for anyone to take their lives. Be very honest. There's no reason. It is not your life to take. You don't have a right to check out. God's the one, the giver of life, and he's the only one that could take it. Now, my friends, before we get into a huge calamity over that, let me tell you this. What lie did he believe? What lie do you think the Admiral believed on? I think there's a couple of lies. But one lie that mainly sticks out is that his worth was his position or his achievement. His worth was his position or his achievement. I think the Admiral would be alive today, possibly, if he would accept the truth that no matter what he's done in life, nothing was more important than his life to God. That his life was more important than the results of medals, position, popularity. I tell you what, guilt and shame is a hard thing to deal with. Especially if you get emotional. If you're emotional and you're dealing with guilt and shame, it is a difficult, very difficult cross to bear. I know today is supposed to be our relationship day. We're supposed to go over relationship things. But after reading this, I just felt that we need to talk about this because there may be people with suicidal spirits out there that we need to break. With suicidal spirits that we need to break. And I wanted to cover this because I wanted to make sure that we don't know who's going to listen to this in our archives or who's listening right now. And I want to make sure that we are covering all the bases, that they know that they have worth, that it's not based on economy, it is not based on position, it is not based on popularity, but it is based on these two facts and these two facts alone. And I'm going to give them to you right now. You have permanent worth. You are worth something because of the price that God had paid for you. You are worth something. Why? Because you are made in His image. You are made in God's image. And if you're made in God's image, then I tell you, my friends, you need to realize this. If you are made in God's image, and then God is the only one that will never have to take His image away. God will never take His image away. So you can't unmake what God made. If God made you, there you're permanent. Nobody can take your image away. You're made in His image. No one can take His image away from you. Be sound in that. You are made in His image. Second thing, you have the same worth as everyone else, no matter what. No matter what, you have the same worth as everyone else. Even if they outperform you, they just do so much more than you will ever do in your life. Your value is the same. How do we know this? Because Christ died for you. He didn't die because you were the CEO of an organization or a business. He didn't die for you because you're the most popular actor or actress on the planet. But if you are, then you need to get right with God and trust God to take care of you, because I know everyone has things, because nobody goes through their life without having issues at all. And God will help you through your issues. I don't care where you are in life, if you're successful and if you're just barely making it. God is real, and God is willing and wanting to have a relationship with you and to make things right with you. So everybody, I want you to say this: I have worth. My worth is invaluable. My worth is invaluable. I am made in His image, and I have the same value as everyone does. My friends, Just figured I'd let you know about your worth and about what God is doing for you, what God is doing in your life, and what God is trying to make happen for you. It's very true, my friends. It's very true. And if you look at a story of the Bible that might back this up, well, you might say, oh, well, Job. Well, yeah, Job kind of fits, but I was thinking more of the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Yeah. That's the one I'd pick, because even though the focus is about him returning to Christ and coming home to God and coming back, even though he went to his way and stuff, I think the biggest thing we need to know is that the prodigal son, when he was about to eat the husk or the corn or whatever you want to call it from the swine, he looked at it and how disgusting it was. It was a way of surviving. So he tried to start to survive. There was no other question, no other choice. And I tell you right now, he decided at that moment that he knew his worth. He knew he was worth more than what he was getting right there. He remembered one thing that we all have to just get for this one minute. If we get this in this one minute, we're going to be okay in this life. We're going to do good. We're going to make things happen. And things are going to be positive for you. And that is this. If he just got that one moment this, when he grabbed that corn and he looked at it and he about to put that in his mouth. It looked like the most disgusting thing, but it didn't matter. he was just going to eat it because he needed to survive. You could tell he wanted to survive. He didn't want to check out. If anyone had an excuse just to end it all, the prodigal son probably did. If anyone was enticed by suicidal spirits, the prodigal son probably was. And the reason why is, you look at it, he took all his inheritance. He walked off. He basically told his dad, hey, let me cash my chips. Look at it. He said, I want to get my inheritance. I want to get out of here. So let me cash my chips. Let me get my chips. Let's look at it. Luke 15. Turn your Bibles. Come on. We have about 10 minutes so we can get this done really quick. Luke 15. The prodigal son. We're not going to read everything. And don't you like that when ministers tell you that and they end up reading everything anyway? We won't read everything, I promise. Basically, he said, and the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Okay, then he took off and took out to a country, and he did what was called a prodigal living, or wasteful living in the New International Version. But in the King James, it says, there wasted his substance with righteous living. With prodigal, wasteful living. He wasted all his possessions. And after he spent everything. Now, who does not want to go around the world? Who does not want to go around the world and travel and see things and spend money and just relax? Well, nothing wrong with that. But you have to have a sustaining game plan. Mr. Prodigal Son did not, don't give us his name, but Mr. Prodigal Son did not realize, yeah, you can live a champagne life, but you only have a Coca-Cola budget. You can't go out there and live wasteful, when you're not having money coming in to take care of your bills. And I'm talking to someone out there. You can't live on a life of luxury when there's no more income to supply that luxury. There has to be planning. There has to be sustaining. I mean, yeah, we believe in God, that God will bring us funds when we need it. But God also believes in us that we will do the right things and we will make the right decisions when it comes to finances. Some people have grasped that. Some haven't grasped that. Some continue to go down that road of not grasping that, and they're into financial ruins. So the prodigal son wasted all his money. Then he got to the scripture point where it said... that he began to be in want, and that's verse 14. He began to want things again. And then this is he began to want things, and he had riches before, and now he has nothing. So what's he gonna do? No, he doesn't end it all. Even though he said in verse 13, was it? And on verse 12 he wanted to cash in the chips and take off and say, cash me out, Dad, I'm gonna take off. Verse 13, he wastes his money. Verse 14, now he wants. Now he's in need, and he wants. So instead of going out and being like that banker that we talked about, that bank robber like we talked about, that just wasn't a bank robber at all. He left all his fingerprints all over the money. And he just ran through the bank and kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. This was in Yahoo News. And then they have his DNA, they have his fingerprints and stuff, so they caught him, I guess. But he didn't resort to robbing a bank. He didn't. He didn't resort to suicide. No, he didn't. But he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he went and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. How do we know he didn't want to end himself? And how do we know that he was just saying, I need to live, I need to make it? You know, he was taught to survive. Or he wanted to survive so much that he took the first available position, first available job he can get, and just to eat, and just to first live, and to first make it going. And you see all this happen. And when this happens, you see a lot of ministers, a lot of people out there, a lot of just different people out there just looking at this man like he's crazy, because they always preach the part where he left and he's negative.
Well, I'm trying to preach the part on this part where he's positive that he's trying to get back. He don't know what to do, but he's financially, he's like, I'm going under, but I'm going to work. He could have been just laying around on the floor somewhere, not doing any work in the street as a beggar, but he took the first available job. And that's what a lot of men need to figure out. If things aren't working out, especially in this economy, if they're not working out what you used to do, find something else to do to take care of your family. Don't sit there and whine. I think I seen this special in, I think it was on, I forget what channel. I got to ask my wife. I think it was TLC, and about this couple that was losing their house. The man looks totally beat, totally destroyed in his mind and mentality. He couldn't find a job in the field that he was at, but he was losing his house. And he sat there, and he just looked totally. He made totally bad decisions throughout the whole show. And I know they shoot this stuff for drama and stuff, these reality shows, but it was a home improvement show, and he was just. He wouldn't even get up to go get a job, not even go to a grocery store or anything. Sometimes you got to do what you can to survive until things turn for you, and or until you come to a part where you have an epiphany, or but to tell you hear God's voice in a strong way to do something else. You can't just do nothing and expect God to bless you and all your household. You have to get up and do something. It doesn't matter what it is, but you got to take care of. The Bible says, unless if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. God doesn't say he's going to starve you, or God doesn't say don't feed you if you don't go to work today. But the Bible, but what he's basically saying is what in Proverbs 18, in Proverbs 19, and Proverbs 25, it tells us of the slothful man. We covered that last Friday, the slothful man. Yet a little sleep, a little folding of a hand, a little slumber leads to poverty, leads to hungerness. What does that say? Throughout the entire Bible, it's saying this. And it's saying that you have to have a plan, you have to work the plan, and you have to be a part of the plan, and you have to be a part of working in the workforce. Why? Because that's how you put food on your table. So if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Doesn't mean, well, I don't feed you if you don't work, sir. No, it means if you don't work, you're not going to have enough food to eat. You're not going to have any money to eat. So my friends, interpret it right. Understand it right. Know that God wants you to be prosperous, yes, but he also wants you to be sustained. He wants things to be able to stay in your life. God will give you what you need, but sometimes we supersede what God has given us and we bring things into our life, higher car payments, things like that, and then we cannot sustain it because we've overstretched not only our faith but our means that God has given us. And I'm sorry for getting all riled up about this, but I've seen this plenty of times. You don't know how many times at the church that we get people coming and knocking on the door, seeing if they can make money around the church. Like the young man just coming by for laundry money. Son, it's not fit for me to give you just laundry money. But I need to tell you, go get a job. Make some money to take care of yourself. And God will bless that. God will honor that. Now, this may be tough talking, but it's truth. We shouldn't walk around a problem. We can't give to help others unless they help themselves, unless they stand up and walk. I don't know what you believe and how you were brought up, but we cannot keep giving out to help people if they don't want to help themselves. I'm not getting political. I'm getting truthful. It's what the Bible says, and that's what it says. It says that you need to work, that some kind of production has to come out of you, that you have to be beneficial or you're going to starve or your family's going to starve. You're not going to have much. So if you take that all into consideration, the prodigal son had the right mentality in him. His father did good, even though he went off and cashed out. There's nothing wrong with him cashing his chips and leaving. Nothing wrong with it. But what he did with his chips and how he didn't take care of things, then that was the problem. He didn't manage it well. But when he was about to eat the corn husk and whatever the pods that they give him to eat, he realized something. He's like, wait a minute. I may not be dressed like I used to be dressed. I may not be eating what I used to be eating. I may not be in the circle of people that I used to be in. I may not be have an influence on these people like I used to have. I mean, I have all the possessions that I used to have.
And I may look dirty and ugly and all this stuff. I may look like a homeless man. And he was homeless, technically, he was. But I am still my father's child. He found his worth, my friends. In the bottomless pit that he was in, he found his worth. My friends, he was still his father's child. So he packed up and went home. And what did his father do? Just rejoice. No matter how stinky he looked and how he walked and what he didn't have and how much he lost, father didn't care about anything. Oh no. The father just looked at him and said, "My son has returned. Get the cafes. We're going to have a barbecue today. It's Texas. We're going to have some cabrito." But yeah, they cooked it. They cooked everything they could. He was excited. Why? Because his son returned. And the same way God looks at us, our worth is not who we are or what we've done or how messed up we are or where we've been. Our worth is always the same. He was still his father's child. He still looked like his father, had his father's DNA, smelled like his father, maybe a little deeper now. But he still was his father's child. Nothing could take that away. You have worth, my friends. You have worth. I want you to remember that. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. My email address is david@revministries.com. And I want you to remember to always listen to us Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock. Central Standard Time. That's our show for today, my friends. That's our whistle. It means we got to head out. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Midwatch. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. ¶¶